And we read this week, or earlier today, in the previous service, out of the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, where it says that the thief comes only except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that day. When the Bible here says day, he's talking about you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. In other words, God came not only for, Jesus came not only for me and you to survive. A lot of believers settle for that. I just want to pastor. I just want to, you know, I just want to make it into heaven. And I just want to, you know, I just want to get saved. But I know God created you in order for you. Jesus came in order for you to thrive in life. In other words, not only to have life, but to have it what? More abundantly. In other words, Jesus came that you may have life until life overflows out of you. Can I get an amen? So, but a lot of times people settle for just, you know, well, I have almost made it, almost have the job, almost got married, almost, you know, opened the business. They settle for almost when God wants you to have more than enough. Well, hear me out. Responsibility, and we spoke a little bit about this last week. Responsibility, about me and you taking responsibility. Say responsibility. Responsibility brings freedom into your life. Responsibility puts me in a place of change. When a person is always blaming others, and I was watching Dr. Joe Hernandez. Remember Dr. Joe Hernandez? Yeah, I was watching him the other day online, and he was preaching, and he said, sometimes people want, you know, I want my brother to change. I want my sister to change. I want my son to change. I want my boss to change. My neighbor to change. My teacher to change, my spouse to change. I want everybody, in order for me to be happy, 90 people got to change. Can I get an amen? How about if I change? Because if I change, everything changes. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you change. Come on, say, if you change, everything changes. When I take responsibility, I'm placed in a position what I can start changing my life. When I blame it on someone else, nothing will ever change because it's not up to me, it's up to them. So I got three thoughts for you today. You ready? Number one, God can ordain your steps. God can ordain your steps, but only you can walk that path. Well, Jesus. Number two, God can walk with you, but he cannot walk for you. And number three, God can give you wisdom, but only you can apply it. So God can ordain your steps, but only you can walk that path. God can walk with you, but he cannot walk for you. And God can give you wisdom, but only you can apply it. So what is God saying? God's saying, hey, he's for you. He's in your corner. He's on your side. But you're going to have to fight this battle. He believes in you. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He has given you his word. He has set you up for success. But hey, he cannot do it for you. He can set you up for success. But me and you need to fight the fight. Come on, say fight the fight. Turn to your neighbor, say fight the fight. Hear me out. The book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. It says, wisdom. Can we read that together? But read it like you know how to read. Come on, somebody. Read it with some up. 1, 2, 3, read. Man, that is a powerful scripture. That scripture can change someone's life. He says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you get in, get what? Understanding. In other words, just don't get head knowledge, but get something that you can apply. Does that make sense? In other words, wisdom can be considered, watch this, wisdom can be considered, let's say you got to change the engine of your car. Wisdom can be considered of getting the book that shows you how to do it, but understanding is actually doing it. Can I get an amen? Same with the word. In other words, God has given us the what? The word. So it's not only about memorizing the word, but it's about using the word. Can you turn to your neighbor and say the word? Word. Can you turn to your other neighbor and say the word? Word? It's not only about memorizing the word, it's about what? Using. Can you say using the word? Using the word. Applying the word. It's not only, watch this, it's not only memorizing, it's about applying what you learn. You got to know the word. Can you say the word? You know, I discover that most people, the problem with most people, believers, and I'm speaking of two believers in a sense, the problem with most believers is that they don't have enough word in them. Mm-hmm. They talk the talk, but they rely so much on their feelings and not on the what? Can you say the word? Can you say the word? And disappointment and the attitude of quitting and giving up is constantly present in their lives because they don't have enough what? Word. Can you say the word word? Can you say word? See, sometimes there are certain thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that are embedded within us, that are go deep inside of us. And we kind of say sometimes on the surface, we say, no, that's not what I believe. But deep down inside, that's what I believe. Can I get an amen? Because we have held that idea, that thought, that belief for so long. We have believed that for so long that we might say we don't believe, but we act like we do. That's what it's, hey, watch. If you have children, that's what is so important that you plan, because whatever ideas you plan on your children, whatever beliefs you plan on them now, is going to go with them for a long time. But sometimes, you know, we've been connected to tradition for a long time, or, you know, my mama taught me, or my grandma taught me, and blah, blah, and I had it for such a long time that the word wrestles with me, because the word says something, but tradition, what I believe from my mom, and, you know, my grandma's never wrong, and my mama's never wrong, and but, you know, maybe they were well-intended, but it doesn't mean that they were right. Say the word. Can you say the word? Maybe they had good intentions, but maybe they just didn't know themselves, because go back in the scripture for me. In all you get and get wisdom, and all you get and get what? Understanding. Maybe they were well intended, but it doesn't mean necessarily that was right. Can I get an amen? Hear me out. Many believers have been tainted with the poison of disappointment. So many times, in other words, you have been disappointed for so many times, so many, for so long that you've bought certain things in your life that you have lost the desire to continue trying. Mm-hmm. In other words, you've been believing for your marriage for a long time, or for your finances, or for your health, or for a relationship, and you've been believing and believing for so, and it hasn't really panned out the way you wanted, and now you feel like, why keep trying? Can I get an amen? Hear me out. I'm gonna help you for free. Today is going to be a good message. Say a good message. Say 13 of us, say good message. Maybe you believe in God for a certain outcome. You know, for a child, your son, your daughter, or maybe for a family member, or maybe you were believing God, you know, for God to heal someone and just didn't pan out. And, you know, you've been believing for a certain job, and the day you get to go get the quote unquote promotion, they let you go. Maybe you've been believing for so long. Watch this. Or maybe you have made some commitment yourself and you say, I'm going to do this. Or, well, you're not ready. Are you ready? I'm going to lose weight. But every time you put yourself on the scale says, Jesus, help me. And you've been trying for so long, watch this, and you've been trying for so long to save money, or maybe to be committed, or maybe, you know, whatever it is, and you've been trying for so long and it hasn't really panned out, and then before you know it, you feel like giving up, throwing in the towel. Come on, 13 of them say, don't give up. 13 of them say, don't give up. Maybe a relationship, your marriage, maybe you set certain expectations and just didn't quite pan out. Hear me out. The number one reason for frustration and disappointment in the life of a believer is the absence, the lack of truth, light, and the word. Because the word is the only thing that produces faith, and faith is the victory, and faith can move mountains. So the problem is never money. The problem is faith. And because there's no word, because in order for you to get faith, you got to have the word. Can you say the word? Can you say the word? In other words, there's no word, and the word is the only thing that produces faith, because the Bible said that faith comes by what? By hearing what? The word. Can you say the word? Can you say the word? So faith comes by what? By hearing. And faith is the what? The victory. Can you say the victory? So faith is the what? The victory. Faith moves mountains. So the we see believers that are discouraged. They're filled with disappointment. Why? Because they don't have enough word in them. Because the word produces faith, and faith brings what? Victory. And faith can move what? Mountains. Say, oh, Jesus. You know, when I grew up, back in the days, can you turn to anybody and say, back in the days? We used to go to a church. I'm talking about 40-some years ago. By the way, this month is my birthday. I'm throwing a quinceañero. Just kidding. Hey, I'll be 55. Is that a multiple of 15? No, 45. Okay, whatever. Next year. No, 5 years. Four quinceañeros. One turned 60. Hear me out. I used to go to a church. And back then, the church was a little bit, not like today, you know, you have people write songs and worship. Back then, we didn't have no songs or whatever. We used to read stories from the Bible, and we used to sing straight from the Bible. In other words, somebody will come and say, hey, book of Psalms, you know, from verse 14 to verse 18, and there was to be a song. Now, mind you, the songs were different. It's not like, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. No, none of that stuff. It was like a beat, like whatever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. And this scripture right here, there used to be a song for this scripture that I'm about to read you out of the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 7. Say the word. Come on, 13, everybody say the word. Hey, today is going to be like Sunday like no other. I promise you, if you pay attention today, your life will change. This week will be the best week of your life starting today. Just hear me out. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. When he says the law, what is he talking about? Say the word. Say the what? The word. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. So the word will refresh your what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. The word will refresh you. It says, the statutes of the Lord, the statutes are the what? Can you say the word? Can you say the word? The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise this simple. In other words, the word will make you wise. The word will refresh you. The word will make you wise. The next verse, it says, the precepts of the Lord is the what? Can you say the word? The precepts of the Lord are the word, and they're right, giving joy to the heart. Listen to all the things that the word of God does for you. It brings you joy. It makes you wise. The word will transform your life. It says, the commands of the Lord, the commands of the Lord are the what? The what? Ay, bendito, por papa, help me out. The what? The word. He says, they're giving light to the eyes. Look the word. Say, look at the power of the word. Say the word. Say the word. Next verse. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord. What are the decrees of the Lord? The what? The are firm, and all of them are righteous. Next verse, por favor. It says, and they're more precious than gold. Listen to all the things that he's saying about the what? David's speaking about the what? The word. In other words, the word is better than cash. Can I get an amen? Amen. The word is better than cash. Why? Because the word will enable to get cash. You don't have to chase cash. Just chase the word. And the word will make sure your life falls into place. Say, oh, Jesus. It says, they're sweeter than honey. Honey from the honeycomb. Next verse, please. It says, by them, watch this. By the what? Say the word. Word. Say the word. Word. By them your servant is warned. Keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me, and then I will be blameless, innocent, in great transgressions. May these words of my mouth, watch, he's talking about an echo of what? Of the precepts, the rules, the laws of God. He said, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Hear me out. I'm hooking you up for free, man. Talk to anybody and say, he's hooking me up for free. I have to learn to value the word, because the word will change your life. I have to value the word. Jesus says, my words, they're spirit and they're life. Hear me out. The word, watch. In other words, the word is what's going to keep you whole, complete. We can pray for you. And by our prayer, the enemy will flee. But you will not remain free unless you learn the word. Jesus comes to that woman and he says, go, sin no, make sure you don't sin no more, that something worse might fall upon you. In other words, we can pray for you and we will, and we can stand with you and we will. You can pray for yourself and that's awesome, but you, what is going to keep you free is having understanding of the word. Have an understanding of the word. In other words, watch this. The word will renew your mind, will renew your soul. Pastor, I'm behind on my rent. You know, my landlord told me if I don't pay him by noon Sunday, he's going to kick me out. We pray and we declare and we stand on the word, and God, a miracle takes place. But unless you renew your mind to the word, next month you're going to get evicted. Because the, can you say the word? Can you say the word? Can you turn to and ever say the word? Somebody said to me, Pastor, I feel this sin is upon me. He says, hey, pray for me that I don't sin no more, that this thing doesn't torment me. I say, I can. Watch me. In the book of Psalms chapter 119, he says, your word I have treasure in my heart that I may not sin against thee. In other words, no one can pray for temptation to leave you. If you want temptation to leave you, treasure that word in your heart. Say, oh Jesus. Say the word. Now, here at the church, we speak a lot. Oh my God, it's 11:38. Okay, last page. Okay, amen. Just kidding. We speak about a lot about devotions. In other words, how do you know to obey the word? Remember, you obey the word, you're going to be okay. But how do you know to obey the word if you don't know the word? That makes sense. How do you know about the feeling? Oh, Pastor, pray for me. Oh, Shanda, I tie my bow tie. No. You need the word. It's okay to have a feeling, but the feeling, no, you need the what? Can you say the word? So how do I need to learn the word in order for me to put it into practice? And all you'll get in, get wisdom and understanding. Man, who keeps calling me today? You say, don't call. Watch. Hey, what's up, man? Okay, whatever. Can you say the word? Can you say the word? In all you're getting, get wisdom, get understanding. So how are you going to apply what you don't know? So we speak here in the church a lot about devotions. Can you say devotions? Can you say devotions? So I'm going to talk to you for the next few moments about how to have devotions. Because this, I promise you, look him in the eye. If you do this, this week, next Sunday, when you walk through them doors, you're going to be a different person. Because you need the what? The word. Can you say the word? In order to do devotions, hear me out. Now I'm just going to share a little bit about me personally. But I know this works because I've seen this in the lives of many people, including my own. You need two things. You need your Bible and you need a notebook. Ah, Pastor, I use my phone. Look him in the eye. You need a Bible and you need a notebook. Well, but you need a Bible. Can you say the Bible?
Bible.
Can you say a notebook?
Bible.
In order for you to do devotions, you need what? A Bible and you need a notebook. Sometimes people, and I'm going to show you in a moment why people say, well, I take notes on my phone. That is not a practical thing because you can only type so much with these two thumbs. And if God wants to put something in your heart and it's long, how the heck are you going to be there or whatever? So you need what? A Bible and what?
Bible.
Come on, 13 of us say, you need a Bible,
Bible.
And a notebook.
Bible.
I'm going to give you this principle. We call it D-R-O-P-S. God is going to put some drops on you. Number one, watch. I'm gonna show you how to do this. This is how I do it. This is how I do it. It's gonna help you. First, you gotta have the attitude of a disciple. In other words, you gotta start. I'm gonna roll the sleeves here in a moment. But you know, I know some people say, "Well, Pastor, I got a reading plan that I follow. Well, I could do devotions this way." Hear me out. A lot of times, people have like a Bible yearly Bible reading plan. And there's nothing wrong with that. God bless you. But I'm gonna tell you something that is going to change your life. Sometimes, I've read the Bible before. I've done the reading plans before. But what I've seen that is most effective in my life is that I read one chapter a day. But sometimes I read that same chapter 10 times because there's something in there that I need to put in my heart. Does that make sense? So I find a chapter, I read a chapter a day, and I stay in that chapter until, I'm going to show you in a moment, until something is dropping in my heart because there's something in there that God wants to tell me. So what do I have the attitude of a disciple. In other words, I don't come to God like I have it all together, like I'm all that like in a bag of chips, and I'm here to tell God how to run my life. I come before the Lord saying, Lord, I need change. Come on, 13, everybody say, you need change. So I come with a heart of a disciple. In other words, I'm open and I'm submitted to God, and I start with prayer. And my prayer is simple. Today, God, I want you to speak to me. So I get a scripture. Wow, watch. And I say, whatever it is, you know, Psalms, whatever, you know, Book of John, whatever. And I say, today I'm going to read, and I say, God, I want you to speak to me. I need change. I need help. I need your word. Your word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Your word is going to bring me life. So today, I want you to speak to me. Second, I come to God with an attitude of reverence. Can you say reverence?
Reverence.
Can you say reverence?
Reverence?
What do I mean by that? If I'm going to have times of devotion, are you ready? No, you're not ready. You can't have times of devotion in your car driving. Huh? Is that reverence? This you reverence towards God? You can't have devotions while doing your makeup if you're a girl. You can't have devotion if you're a guy like what you on social media, watching TV, I'm doing my devotion. No, you got to reverence. In other words, God is going to speak to you. So you got to be in an area that there's zero distractions, that you set a time aside every day. Can you say every day? Can you talk to anybody and say every day? I'm going to set a time aside every day when I'm going to focus on God. So I'm going to honor him. I'm going to create an atmosphere where God feels honor. But if I'm just on social media trying to, you know, like some people I'm trying to do devotions so I can have a good posting so everybody knows in the world that I did devotions today. You think God's stupid? You think God is a fool? No. And I shared this with the other service. Do you know that most of the things that God speaks to me, most, like I'm going to say 97% of the things, I'm just guessing there, but most, can you say most? Of the things that God speaks to me in my times of devotion, I never preach about. I don't go to times of devotion, God, give me a word for Patty, in Jesus' name, Patty, okay, right here. The Lord is my shepherd. No, give me a word for Sergio, sir. No, times of devotions are times for what? For me. And it's not like God is giving me some secret revelation. No, but when I go before God, I don't go before God for somebody else. I go before God for who? For moi. Can you talk to anybody and say moi? I'm going to God. So a time of reverence. So first, I approach him as a disciple. In other words, I'm humble. I need you. Speak to me. Second, I have a time of reverence. In other words, God, I set a time aside. And I say, God, I'm focused on you. I am attentive. Say, oh, Jesus. Let me see. I got a good note here. I said, if you do it while driving, there's no honor. Okay. Number three. First, disciple. Can you say disciple? The attitude of disciples, then an attitude of reference. Number three, I come to God with objectively. In other words, I said, God, what are you telling me? Where am I on this word? Whatever, I'm reading a book of whatever it is. And I promise you, if you do this, you get into this mindset, this zone, where God feels like he can put stuff into your heart. The word is amazing. If we had time today, of course we don't, but if we had time today, I will venture and say, hey, how about we all read a certain scripture? And everybody in this room will meditate on the scripture. And I promise you that the same scripture will mean something to Patricia, will mean something to Genevieve, will mean something to Papa Richard. It will mean something different to every single person. And if you were to read that same verse again tomorrow, it will mean something else to you. Hear me out. This is good. Can I talk to you and say, this is good. This will change your life. God wants to speak to you, but you got to make sure that you are what? Objective. Say, God, what are you telling me? Number three. Number four. First, a disciple. Say disciple.
Disciple.
Second, reverence.
Objective.
Number four, purpose. How do I apply this in my life. No, God is saying something to you. The question is, how do I apply this in my life? I don't want to get just knowledge. I want to get what? Understanding. So I want to, okay, God gives you a word. How do I, now, don't, like I said earlier, don't be trying to like have devotions in order for you to give a word to Selena or to whoever else, huh? Like a guy here years ago, he told me about Selena. He said, the Lord gave me a word for Selena. I want to consolidate her. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with Selena. I'm playing with Selena. A guy did tell me that, though. Right? Did he say that? He said that. It's consolidating. Mercy. So, hey, how do I apply this in my life? What is the practical purpose of this word? Trust me what I'm saying. God will speak to you. If you come to him with an attitude of a disciple, with an attitude of reverence, you come objectively, God will show you the where are you in that word. And the last one is statement. In other words, now I'm done reading. Now I'm done meditating. God has spoken to me. Now I open my notebook. Thought I forgot about that. And I begin to write what God tells me. And I make notes of the things. Or maybe you close, you know, you receive certain things. And you say, wow, I see the word is here. I am here. There's a disconnect between the two. Let me pray. So I write a prayer. God, in the name of Jesus. Or maybe God speaks about your heart about something else. And then you begin to write. You begin to journal. That you keep. Because later on, watch this. I do this all the time. I go back to my devotions. What? No, this is personal. Huh? Personal. This is not you. So you know, I got all my devotions on 3x5 cards. I got a stack of 3x5 cards. All my devotions. So I just write 3x5. I try to then write on the other side sometimes. And I got them all stacked up. So every once in a while, I go. You don't have to do that. I'm just saying this is what I do. I'm artistic. If I get a notebook, I'm not saying artistic, but I like to doodle a lot. So if I get a notebook, I get distracted. And I try to make all the worlds, all the words real pretty or whatever. And then I got to be focused. Give me the rock bottom line. No parables. 3x5 card. Over. So God gives you a prayer. He gives you a word. Write it. And then you go back. You meditate on that all day long. Because the word is good. Watch this. Every single day. He says, man will not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So he gives you a word, you stay there meditating. And I'm going to show you this, and we're going to pass the elements for communion right now. Real quick, we're going to start passing the elements for communion. Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6. And I'm going to add some things here. Just hear, man. It says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There's no such thing as a public victory without a private victory. So I'll tweak a little bit. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you in public. It all starts, would you please stand with us as we get ready to pray? Times of devotion. Time in the Word. Hear me out. It will change. We can start passing the elements, please. It will change your life forever. If you put God first, trust me what I'm saying. If you say, you know what, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. My time of devotion has not been what it needs to be. But today I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to set time aside every day. I'm going to have the attitude of a disciple. I'm going to reverence God. I'm going to be objective. I'm going to find the purpose. And I'm going to write a statement. If you do this every day for a week, trust me what I'm saying, your life will change. I just show you out of the book of Psalms. The law of the Lord is good. And as you begin, hear me out, as you begin to learn and God begins to speak to your heart, look at me in the eye, you start falling in love with the word. where maybe at the beginning you have to drag yourself, man, the word, I hear you. But after a while, you're like, man, I cannot wait to have my time alone with God today. Because the word of God is good for you. It's good for us. Book of Matthew, chapter 26. Remember, communion is something that Jesus said for us to do in remembrance of him, of what he did. He endured the cross, the punishment of the cross for us. The cross is a place of exchange. At the cross, the curse was reversed. There was a curse on their humanity. There was a curse from the beginning. And at the cross, the curse was reversed. It's funny, I was telling the other service, interesting, how the curse began because someone ate something out of disobedience. But then Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And he instructs us to eat something. Then he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. Amazing. My blood of a new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. They knew of an old covenant, and Jesus says, no, this is a new covenant. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. You bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to repeat after me. This is the reason the body of Christ was broken. They say, dear God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the power of the blood. I thank you for the sacrifice of the cross. Your body was broken so our bodies can be healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am healthy. I am full of energy. For Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for my healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may partake of the bread. Why was his blood shed? For the forgiveness of our sins. For me and you, as guilty as we are, we can be forgiven. We have no right without Christ to be forgiven. But in him, you can find forgiveness. You close your eyes. Repeat with me. Say, this cup is the new covenant for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Father, for loving me so much that you send your Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood for me. Today, I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may partake of the drink. You may be seated for a moment. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been here 10 years. Me and my wife, we've been here 10 years. We're going to 11 years this year, right? No, 10 years, just 10 years. I've never done what I'm about to do next. Never done this ever. But we are at a very critical crossroad, if you will. In about 40 days, it's going to be Easter. And we're believing to win many people in this city. We're believing to reach out to people that, I mean, reach to people that we never reached before. We have set out the first Sunday of the month to receive a second offering for our facilities. But today is going to be a bit different because we are believing to purchase a flat screen TV here, and we need $3,000. I've never done this in my life, ever. If you've been here for a while, you know exactly what I mean. So about 4 days ago, I put this in my heart. We need 35 people to give $100. Well, 34 people, because me and my wife are going to give $100. So is that you today? You say, Pastor, I can make that commitment of give $100. I just want you to stand. If you stood up at the previous service, I want you to stand now as well. If you say, I can make that commitment of give $100 today. We are believing to purchase this monitor. And say, somebody said, well, Pastor, what about if you get more than $3,500? Well, I pray that we do, because that computer back there that you see back there, it's about 9 years old, and we were trying to do some stuff for the last 2 months, and we weren't able to do whatever we needed to do. We've been to the Apple store like 4 times and Best Buy like 10 times and Fry's like 10 times. And when Dr. Joe was here the other day, we went back and forth, and then we realized why we're not able to do what we need to do with that computer. The computer is old, and it doesn't have the capabilities. So in Jesus' name, I believe, God, that we're going to be able to buy that and to buy the big screen TV. But the time is of essence, because this the screen is in China. Maybe you didn't know that, but we ordered it from China. Joke. So, well, the ushers, can you help them? And if you're here, you say, Pastor, I don't have the $100, but I can give whatever. Will you please stand? Just whatever you can help us today. Just stand with us. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Just stand today. Get an envelope today. I'm thankful and grateful for you, for your sacrifice. You know, this is your church. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, this is your church? I was telling Richard the other day about this, and Richard, before I finished talking, he says, "Come in, Pastor. I'll figure something out in Jesus' name." So I'm grateful for your commitment and grateful for what we're doing together. I've never done this in my life, man, but I'm trusting God, and I'm believing in you, and we're going to do this thing together. How many of you are grateful that you came today? You get an envelope today, and let's pray. Come with me, baby girl. My wife good looking, isn't she? Yeah. Gee, Chai. I'm Chai. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the people in this room. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their sacrifice. Father, it's an incredible honor to stand before them today. Pray that today you receive the seed. You will multiply back to them a hundredfold return. Father, you have seen the sacrifices of many. I thank you, Lord. We can never outgive you, that you are faithful to your word. More than anything, thank you for what you are doing in this church and through this church. It is our desire to see the very heart of this city turn towards you, because we know that what you have done in our lives, you're able to do in the lives of many. So today, Father God, I pray for this family, for every person in this room. I ask you to bless them, to prosper them, to change their lives, to help them in order to fulfill their assignment. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, amen.